Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The Gun Give Back in Fredericksburg is coming up. We're going to focus in on that in a little bit this morning. But first of all, City Police Captain Brian Layton is in this morning. Captain Layton, it's great to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having me back.
Would help if I had the right microphone on. Good morning. It's good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having me back.
There. I heard you say that, but not everybody did. We're going to talk about the voluntary gun give back that's coming up next weekend in the city. But before we do that, this is one of the first times, I think this is the first time we've ever been on just the two of us. And I thought a good way to start this morning, I don't know your police story and how you got involved with law enforcement, Captain Layton.
Well, I hope this doesn't bore folks, but I started out, back in 1994. I was 22 years old and working construction at a family business.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, even before 22, I'd say right after graduating high school, I just had a real calling to law enforcement, you know, just really respected what those men and women did in law enforcement. So I saw an advertisement come out, and it was for auxiliary police officers at the Fredericksburg Police Department, and I applied. And part of that process was to come down, and we had to do a physical agility test and go before an oral review board. And I came down and did all of that, and got a call shortly thereafter, and they welcomed me on as an auxiliary police officer with the Fredericksburg Police Department.
Well, you go ahead.
That was back in 1994, and with the auxiliary program is pretty great. Now it was pretty large when I started back then. It's dwindled down to one now. We have one auxiliary officer currently, but back then we had probably 25, give or take, auxiliary officers. And back then, it's funny how the world has changed with recruitment and retention, but back then, most of the full-time officers came from the auxiliary pool. They started as an auxiliary.
Yeah.
And that's how I got my start, went to the academy as an auxiliary, and I did that till about the spring of 1996 when I got a phone call from a lieutenant then and said, hey, you want to be a full-time officer? And I jumped at the opportunity.
So the auxiliary officers is in a way that's a way that they can get a kind of a look at what the police department does. You get a look at them. It's sort of like an internship.
It was great. It was perfect for me, actually. I was working hard at a young family then, and going to the auxiliary academy was long. I mean, it was about 9 months, 8 or 9 months. Of every Tuesday night, every Thursday night, and every Saturday, all day Saturday, for the academy for 8 to 9 months to graduate that auxiliary police academy. Went through that and graduated in 1995. And then, you know, you put the uniform on. It's the same badge as the full-time officers, and you get the same exact training, the field training and everything. And you go out and you're riding along in the field training program, learning from the full-time officers. And once you've done that and you've shown that you're competent, you get to go out on your own as an auxiliary police officer. And I did that, and it was pretty great. At the Fredericksburg Police Department, you only have to, it's 20 hours a month that you have to volunteer that time. And it was perfect for me to really start off slow and say, is this really what I want to do for a living? And I found out pretty quickly that it was, so I jumped at that opportunity in 1996.
I guess this is a good kind of a commercial for the auxiliary program. If someone's interested, get in touch with City Police.
Absolutely. We still have it. It's only one strong right now, but we're willing to add to it.
But the fact that you professionally as an officer have grown up and been in the city, you've seen changes in the city and changes in things, gives you a unique perspective, I would think.
Yeah, I really did grow up here. You know, I started off as a very young man in policing. Did regular patrol work for probably the first 6 to 7 years, and then I joined a street crimes unit, and I did that for a couple of years, and then I was able to move over to the detective division as an undercover vice narcotics detective. Did that for a little bit before I was promoted to corporal. That was in the early 2000s. And just over the years, promoted up to, in the mid-2000s, promoted to sergeant, where I was no longer just responsible for myself. I was responsible for a squad of men and women, police yeah. officers, and learned a lot as a sergeant. Did that for many years. One of the jobs I did as a sergeant kind of went kicking and screaming was we needed some leadership in our communication section in the 911 center, and the chief asked me to go in there. And went in there as the communications manager and just learned a heck of a lot in there, too, of things that aren't normal policing, right? Learning the dispatcher's job and the 911 center, and just have a huge respect for those men and women that work in there. And that was a great opportunity for me. Learned a heck of a lot. From there, I promoted to lieutenant, back to night shift, much to the chagrin of my beautiful bride. But back to nights, from days to nights, did nights as a lieutenant for a couple of years, and then in 2012 promoted to the rank of captain. And at captain, I started off in the support services division, which is in charge of the 911 center, and then all of the things like the vehicles and all of the equipment
yeah.
and the evidence and hiring and firing and recruitment, retention, all of those good things, and learned a heck of a lot there also. And then in 2014, took over the patrol division as a patrol commander.
When in Stafford, when Lee Peters went to communications, I remember him telling me that was the most eye-opening experience in law enforcement, because he said in the field there are just certain things. Sometimes you'll lose patience, or you take things for granted, and you see what happens, and you see how the 911 office operators work and the stress and the information that they need to get. And it was for him really an eye opener, and made him really appreciate that part of law enforcement.
Yeah, the men and the women that work in the 911 center, they're incredible. And honestly, they're the first voice that folks that are in crisis, they're the first
yeah.
folks that they hear, and they really set the tone for not just the victims or the people that are in crisis calling in, but well, the officers as well. They're setting the tone for that also, and they have to make split-second decisions just like a police officer does out on the street, so they have an incredible job. In 2014, I got a wonderful opportunity where Chief Nye supported me in attending the FBI's National Academy up in Quantico. It was a 10-week program. It's like going back to college at Quantico, and that was a wonderful experience, spending 2.5 months with other law enforcement executives from around the country and the world. There were 212 people that graduated out of my class, the 257th session of the National Academy, and I think there were close to 30 international students that were there with me, but of course others from all around the country, and it was a really eye-opening experience. Attending that and talking to those folks about police issues in their parts of the world, so that was pretty great also.
Boy, and to have that kind of training and then to be able to bring that back, we oftentimes don't know that. I mean, you and others do those kind of courses, but what you learn there, you bring back and incorporate into our community.
Yeah, it was the police department. It was a real investment in me for them, because it took me out of my normal job for 2.5 months. Right,
yeah.
they had to fill in those voids, and a lot of the lieutenants that work with me at the agency, they really stepped up and jumped into that role to help out during that 2.5 months while I was away. But it really changed my perspective on policing and administration of police, and it was great.
Boy, you mentioned a few minutes ago calling. Captain Brian Layton with City Police here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Talked about just being a calling, and I was going to ask you about that, because what police work's not a 9-to-5 job, and the officers that I know, and it's just like you described about you all of a sudden you can be working nights. You may have a family, but you're working nights. It's police work's not a 9-to-5 job, and it really is a calling.
Absolutely. I'm very thankful that young people still want to do policing, right?
Yeah.
Because there's been some vilifying of police in the mainstream media and around the country. But it really is the greatest job on planet Earth. I almost 26 years I've been policing, and I wouldn't change a single day of it. So if there's young people listening, I really encourage you, if you have that itch, it's worth pursuing in law enforcement. And I'll tell you, at the Fredericksburg Police Department, we have hired some really wonderful people lately, and I can tell that they have it in their eyes also, right? They've had that itch. They have the calling, and we've got some wonderful young people starting at the Fredericksburg Police Department.
That's exciting. Well, I'm glad a chance we had to talk about this. I did not know that you'd always been in the city, and that really does give you a unique perspective of Fredericksburg. You've seen the growth, and you just think of. And you think the growth that's coming. Councilman Kelly was in the other day, and we were talking about just the changes in the city, and a lot of the times the things we don't see, as we go up Lafayette Boulevard and seeing all that work being done, or you go down on William Street and see things being done, and all of that eventually means more challenges for everybody, including city police.
Yeah, indeed. I'm a hometown boy. I was born and raised here in Fredericksburg. I love this city. I live in this city. You brought up the construction on Lafayette Boulevard. That's right in my backyard.
Yeah.
I live right there in Kensington Hill, and with my wife, my two daughters, and we love everything about the city of Fredericksburg. It's home. It's where I want to spend the rest of my career, I can tell you that. And we love everything Fredericksburg. My kids are in the schools. They have been since kindergarten. Fredericksburg is our town.
Captain Brian Lighton here with City Police. We're going to talk about the gun give back this morning. Also going to talk about some safety issues. Lots of good stuff coming up, and we need to take a break. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Captain Brian Layton with City Police in this morning. Gun Give Back in Fredericksburg is next Saturday. We're going to talk about that as we go along this morning. It is a voluntary gun give back, and we'll get into that as we go along. But Captain Layton, when you big issue today is gun safety, just because there are a lot of things, and a lot of this is. Seems common sense, but unfortunately, we see just horrible stories because of people not following through and knowing things, knowing how a gun operates, and knowing just some basic things.
Yes, sir. We see it every year where people accidentally shoot themselves with their own firearms, and it really boils down to some fundamental safety. About 10 years of my career with Fredericksburg, I was the lead firearms instructor for the agency, so I was in charge of all firearms instruction out at the range, legal updates in relation to firearms and use of force, and of course the armory, making sure that the guns were functional and all that kind of good stuff. So I really have a pretty good background on gun safety. Because at the police department, of course, we all have guns, and safety is really pounded into us right at the very beginning, right from the before we even get into the academy. And there are some fundamentals that every gun owner should know and practice. The first off is you need to know how your firearm operates, all right? That includes the action of the firearm, knowing when it's loaded, when mm-hmm. it is not loaded. Before handling a firearm, make sure that it is unloaded. If you don't know how to check the action on a firearm, you probably shouldn't have your hands on it whatsoever. If you're a first-time gun owner or user, you should absolutely seek instruction on how to work that weapon. One of the next fundamentals is never assume that a firearm is unloaded. I mean, in fact, it's the exact opposite. You should assume that every firearm is loaded until you have checked it and ensured that it's not loaded.
And that's unfortunately where I think a lot of problems come.
Yeah, that's where people get in trouble. What we see, and it happens every year at least once, usually several times, is a gun owner has been out to the range. They come home. They want to clean their firearm. And in doing so, they don't check the action of the weapon, and it is loaded. And when they're cleaning, they get to the trigger area, cleaning that, and they pull the trigger, and the firearm goes off. And we see, shots to the legs and the arms or through the floor. We've seen it at apartment buildings where they've shot and not shot themselves, but it's gone through the floor or the wall of an apartment and into an adjacent apartment, you know. And
those are just terrifying stories. Yeah, when unfortunately, there was a story on New Year's Eve from somewhere else in the country where someone died because someone was shooting something off in their backyard.
Couldn't agree more. And every one of those is preventable. Got to know how the weapon operates. You got to know that it's safe before you handle it.
Yeah.
Always keep a gun pointed in a safe direction, even when handling an unloaded firearm. There's nothing scarier than looking down the business end of a firearm when you're out on the firing line because somebody has gotten distracted from gun muzzle safety.
Yeah.
And they're not keeping it downrange or in a safe direction. Always keep your finger off the trigger, even when handling an unloaded firearm. It's the trigger that makes it go boom. So most guns, reputable guns, if you drop them on the ground, even if they're loaded, they're not going to fire. It takes you manually pulling the trigger
to
make the firearm go off. So you always have to have good trigger finger awareness. And remember, nearly all firearm accidents in the home can be prevented simply by making sure that the guns are kept unloaded and locked up. That's another big deal in your home. If you're a responsible gun owner, you need to have a gun safe, preferably. And not just the safe to keep the firearm locked up and away from children, but you should really have a firearm locking device, like a cable device to go down through a pistol and or a trigger guard, locking guard for long guns, and then keep them in a safe also.
Just to make sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Double safety.
I know of some parents and people would ask us when my kids were smaller, would all, and even some in teenage years would ask if knowing that if their child were coming over, they would ask, are there guns in the house?
It's a smart question to ask.
And to ask that. And are they locked up?
Yeah. Kids are curious. Right. And when we have our friends over. Sometimes we're not paying as close attention to our children as
right.
we should be. And they have a tendency to wander and then get into some mischief. And if you have guns that aren't locked up or are easily accessible, rest assured they will handle those guns. They're going to play with them because they're going to think it's a toy or something neat to play with. Right?
Yeah.
And that's where tragedies occur.
And I guess that Captain Layton, too, is where you have to really be vigilant and make sure they're locked up. And this isn't something to take lightly. And you don't want to just leave it on the counter because, like you say, if you go out or you go away and your kids and especially teenagers just to all of a sudden be handling a gun and looking cool, that's when problems occur.
Yes, sir. If you're going to be a responsible gun owner, it starts with being responsible. And part of that as being a responsible adult gun owner is making sure that your weapon is safe and making sure that it's locked up and away from the prying hands of children. Because those tragedies do occur, and it is a tragedy. And rest assured that there are laws in the Virginia code book that hold adults accountable when children do get their firearms and either hurt themselves or others.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Captain Brian Layton with Fredericksburg City Police in this morning. We're going to talk about the gun give back. We're talking gun safety. We're talking about storing a firearm when we come back, and also about just talking about this issue with your kids. And we'll talk about the gun give back next weekend in Fredericksburg. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:29.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Captain Brian Layton with City Police in this morning. We're going to talk about the gun give back program in just a few minutes. We're talking gun safety. But before we get back into that, it just occurred to me, Captain Layton, we were talking about your career. One of the things you also did is you were for a couple of years did the police ride in the spring from Chesapeake to D.C. Anybody that can ride from Route 1 from Caroline to Stafford, to me, has just got legs of steel. But you did that for a couple of years and have been really involved in that whole effort to remember fallen officers.
Yes, sir. Law Enforcement United. It's a wonderful program that supports the families of fallen officers across our country. It was really an incredible experience. Riding 250 miles in 3 days is not a normal thing to do. I'm more than happy to tell you that I did do it 2 years in a row, but I don't know that I'll be doing it again anytime soon. Exercising is supposed to add years to your life, but I'm convinced that those two rides may have taken a year or two from me, because it was no joke. But along the way, you know, you ride 15, 20 miles and you stop to refuel your bodies and to water up. But the folks from LAU, they come together and they highlight a fallen hero at every single one of the stops. So it was so inspiring that it made the ride a lot easier, because it's super inspiring and for such a great cause. It was my pleasure to be a part of it.
Well, and if people haven't, it's a nice memorial in front of the police station for the several officers. Is it three officers who've died in the city?
Four. Yes, sir.
And it really is something. If you ought to go by there off of the city police headquarters off Collin Boulevard and just look at that memorial and see learn a little bit about the lives of the officers who did give their lives, and it really is worth going by and seeing.
Yes, sir. We honor every one of them for giving the ultimate.
Back to gun safety before we get into next weekend's gun give back. We talked about keeping things, about guns, about keeping them safe, and that goes back to, as you mentioned, storing them safely and securely.
Yeah, if you're going to be a responsible gun owner, you should have a gun safe in the house. Simply taking your firearm and putting it on the top shelf in your closet or in a drawer next to your bed that's unsecured, that's just not a safe place to have your firearm, especially if you have children in the home. The responsible thing to do is to go out and get a quality gun vault and have that installed in your home. And I really like the ones that are keyless, that they have a combination to, because the keys can be found throughout the house by children or by other people, would-be burglars or anyone else. Keys could be found, and then they can find your safe and go into it, and then they have access to your firearms. And then your firearms, which you owned responsibly, now they're out on the streets, and they could possibly cause some harm to the community. You certainly don't want that. So have a nice safe. I recommend a combination safe. Use that. Remember that when you store your firearms, make sure they're unloaded. And then go the extra mile by making sure that you do not store ammunition in the same safe that you do with your firearm.
I never thought of that. That's a great point of keeping them separated. You mentioned kids and all. I guess it is important to we mentioned a few minutes ago about kids getting a hold of them, but it doesn't hurt to just always drill into them, this isn't a toy, and if you do see it or you do see a gun, if you're out, you know, that's nothing to play with. Stay away.
Yeah, as a police officer, I've always had a firearm in my home, right? And at least one. And I have children. I have a son who's 23, but he grew up in the home. And
yeah.
I'm real proud of him. He's now a Richmond police officer, works down in South End, Richmond City.
I didn't know that.
Police officer.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a couple of years. In fact, I'm really proud that just last month he was recognized as the Rookie of the Year and for Richmond City PD.
You should
really
be proud. That is, man. Yeah.
But I also have two daughters. They are about to be 13 and 14 years old. And since they were old enough to navigate the home, I made sure that they understood gun safety. And the number one priority when you have really young children is don't touch, right? And kids just naturally are curious and are extra curious about guns. And if you just say, don't touch, that I think that's going to make them even more curious. So as they mature, you need to really sit your kids down and educate them, explain to them the potential dangers of a firearm and that they are for adults. They're not for children. And it's a big deal because, you know, unfortunately, we do see, certainly across the country and sometimes in our beautiful city, we see where children hurt themselves with firearms that they found.
Well, and I remember as a kid, when I got old enough and was home alone, it was fun exploring the house. And that's where you need to teach them, because all kids are gonna do that. But if they see a gun, or if they're with some friends, about just shutting it down. And if you see a gun, don't go any further.
Yeah, we read those stories in the paper, or we see them on the news, and you really have to try to put yourselves in the shoes of that parent who left that firearm out, and that child was able to find it and hurt themselves. Or you hear stories of them shooting their brother or their sister or their playmate right in the home because the gun wasn't kept safe.
Yeah, no, I remember my parents always talk to me about if I was ever with anybody in a car who started drinking, to get out, to just wherever I was, to get out of the car and to call them, and they'd come and get me, and never touch a gun. If you see anybody, if anybody starts playing with a gun, you get out of there. And it is important for parents to talk about kids and give them some tools and some ideas of how to deal with situations like this.
Bet, because accidents do happen. I mean, the number one way to prevent it is to make sure your firearms are unloaded and that they're stored securely in a safe. You can even go the extra mile by ensuring that you're using a cable lock for your pistols and or a trigger lock for your long guns and or pistols, and make sure you always store the ammunition away from the actual firearms.
Captain Brian Layton here this morning with Fredericksburg City Police on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Next Saturday, it is the sixth annual Gun Give Back at the City Police headquarters on Cowan Boulevard. And at times, I think this may be one of the most misunderstood events in the city of Fredericksburg. This is a gun give back, and it's voluntary. It is voluntary. How this all get started?
So we're really excited. This is the sixth annual Gun Give Back event that the Fredericksburg Police Department has held at the police station. We partner with the Fredericksburg Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Higgs has members that attend with us to help us with the firearm collection. But it started 6 years ago. It was the idea of Councilman Chuck Fry. He came to the police department with an idea of what can we do about unwanted guns in our city. And after some brainstorming at the police department, then Sergeant Jim Keebler, now Lieutenant Jim Keebler, came up with the idea of a gun give back. And originally, it came with some voluntary monetary donations from a local philanthropist.
Yeah, Doris Buffett was initially going to be involved with that.
She was. For 2 years, she was. And she gave money for each firearm that was given, but she didn't give it to the people who turned them in. She gave them to local nonprofits
in our
area, so it benefited them. So it was kind of a win-win. Unwanted firearms were taken off the street, and monies were given to local nonprofits. But now it's simply a gun give back. It's the primary idea is that if you have unwanted firearms in your home and you don't want to take them and sell them with either a pawn shop or a local FFL, that you can bring those unwanted firearms to the Fredericksburg Police Department. we will receive that firearm, and we will ensure that it will never go back out on the street and get in the hands of criminals or anyone else for that matter. One of two things will happen to the gun. It'll either be destroyed after 120 days in storage, or it will. We offer all of the firearms down to the Department of Forensics in Richmond in case they want to use the firearms for science.
Which I think that's a great thing. If that happens at times, just that something like this is being used for research and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they take some of the guns every year, guns that they don't currently have down there.
Yeah,
they take guns every year. Another thing we do with the firearms is we compile a list. And that list goes out to all of our neighboring law enforcement agencies so that they can compare the guns to any of their incident reports that mm-hmm. they have taken over the last year or more. And every firearm that comes in, we run through NCIC VSIN for a want check or a criminal check on the firearm. And if we receive any firearms that are stolen, we will reach out to the owner of that firearm to see if they want that firearm back also.
Well, we were just talking, and this really is a nice segue after talking about just gun safety and the problems sometimes that they can have. If you don't want that gun and you don't want to have a tragedy occur in your home, this is a way to take care of it, because this really is set up similar to when you do the drug give backs a couple times a year. You come up, you drop your gun off. There are no questions asked.
Yes, sir. It's a service that the police department is providing to the community, and those are the folks who are bringing us guns. We're not demanding it. We're not soliciting gun owners that enjoy their guns. This is a program for people who have unwanted firearms, that they're looking for a safe way to get rid of the firearms, get them out of their homes or whatever, and we're providing that opportunity for the community. And it's not just the 22401 City of Fredericksburg community.
Yeah.
Anyone throughout the whole nation could bring us an unwanted firearm, and we will receive it for them.
That's the great thing about this program, that anyone can do it. You pull up, and it's a quick in and out. And I know in the past it's always gotten me when you've talked about the fact that getting these unwanted guns off the streets, ultimately you think of your own officers, and in a way this is protecting the community. It's protecting your officers.
Absolutely. You know, burglaries do occur, not only in our city but throughout the nation, and when they occur, a lot of times the burglars are looking for firearms, and a lot of times they find them, and now they've turned into criminal weapons. And any unwanted firearm that we collect, if I see it as a win in that is one gun, unwanted firearm that is not going to be used to commit a terrible crime against any community member or any one of my police officers.
Well, and I remember a few years ago, in fact, you had, it snowed a few years ago, and it was, and so you were going to reschedule the event, and still you had a number of people come by. It's always amazing to me that there are people out there and there who just decide, and everybody has a different reason. But even on a snowy day, I remember you saying, you and Councilman Fry saying, well, we'll stay here for a little bit. Some people may not have gotten the word, and a number of people came by.
Yeah, people came out in the snow. It just that, along with many other things, have just proven to us that this is a necessary community event, because over the last 5 years, 175 guns have been voluntarily turned in to the police department, unwanted firearms that will never be used in the commission of a crime in the city of Fredericksburg or anywhere else for that matter. 175 unwanted firearms that have been turned in. So there's a demand in our community, and we're offering that service.
Yeah, again, it is voluntary. Go through, and I know one of the things you when people turn them in, you want the guns unloaded.
Yes, sir. So let me just give you a little idea of what you can expect if you're if you own a firearm that is unwanted and you want to turn it in. So our gun give back event is coming up next Saturday, January the 11th. It's from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. and it's located at the Fredericksburg Police Department headquarters. And that address is 2200 Cowan Boulevard, Fredericksburg, Virginia 22401. So if you come to us between those times, you'll pull into our driveway leading back to the police department. You will see an officer there at the front parking lot. He or she will greet you, and then they'll send you back to the back parking lot. That'll be open. You'll drive back there, greet another officer. They will greet you. They're not going to ask you any questions other than do you have a firearm to turn in? If you do, you can direct them to that firearm. The officer will retrieve it, make sure that it's safe, and then it'll be taken into police headquarters. And without any questions asked, you'll then drive out of the parking lot and back out to Cowan Boulevard to enjoy the rest of your day. We do ask that firearms be stored in your trunk if you have a trunk, or if you have an SUV, just put them in the back hatch area. It's usually the safest way to carry a firearm is out of hands reach. And ensure that they're unloaded. The officer will retrieve them right out of your car for you if you wish. And, you know, we try to make it as simple as possible. And it's anonymous. We're not going to ask you for your ID. We're not going to ask you for your name. We're not going to take pictures of you. It's truly an anonymous event.
Again, this is voluntary, and you're looking for unwanted firearms and people have all different reasons of why they want to get rid of them. And you've talked about a number of them. And this is a voluntary event next Saturday from 10 to 2 at City Police Headquarters on January 11th. And it is a great thing that the city offers. We should mention that Councilman Fry had hoped to be here. He did text me a little while ago, saying he's listening. If you get the UPS shipments today, he may be delivering them at this moment for you. But he's been a champion about this and really just about gun safety in the city, and the two certainly go together.
Yeah, Councilman Fry is here with us in spirit, no doubt.
He is. We have a chair for him. He's the invisible guest right now.
Yes, he loves this program. He's the driving force of this program. We're happy to partner with him on this program, but he is our champion, and I'm proud to support him in this event to get unwanted firearms off the street, out of our community.
And as I've been there over the years and seen, it's been all ages of people that have come by, and it may be that it's again all kinds of reasons, but it makes the city safer.
It does. You know, we don't ask folks, but some folks come through and they offer their story, and one that sticks out to me was a young lady. She showed up. She had a few firearms with her that she wanted to turn in to us, and they were unwanted, but they were firearms that were handed down from her father, who had passed, and handed them down to her. But quite honestly, she didn't really want them. She didn't have any other family members that want them. She didn't want to turn them into a gun dealer for any money. She just wanted to know that they were off the streets. They weren't going to be used in any crimes, and she was... That's what she wanted. She wanted to turn them into the police department so that they could be destroyed and or used for science.
And that's what this program is about. It is voluntary.
Yes, sir.
And it's a unique program that the Fredericksburg offers, City Police. And again, anyone can – you can be in the counties. You can be from anywhere. And no questions are asked.
Yeah, so just because we have one day – for the event, which is next Saturday, January the 11th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. If you can't make it then, you can come by the Fredericksburg Police Department any day of the week, all year long. Leave your firearm in your car. Come into police headquarters, into our lobby. Let somebody know at the front window that you have an unwanted firearm. An officer will come, collect it, no questions asked, and we'll add it in with the guns from the Gun Give Back program.
Councilman Fry has just walked in the room. We're going to take a quick break and wrap this up when we come back. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking gun give back this morning. City Police Captain Brian Layton is here, and better late than never, City Councilman Chuck Fry is here. Councilman Fry, it's great to have you here. This was your passion. We have talked about it, but just for a few minutes, it'll be great to hear from you.
All right.
This is a big issue for you.
Oh yeah, yeah, serious issue. The passion for me comes from witnessing the murder when I was 8 years old, and I never knew it was on my heart like that until I, you know, became a grown man, and now the opportunity to try to help folks with gun issues. Everybody's getting it confused with, even now, the Sanctuary City thing and all of this. This is not what it is, and I just ask folks to do some research on what we have been doing for the last 6 years and see what it's all about. And a lot of people have the misconception somebody's taking their guns or the city is taking their guns. It's not the case. It's called voluntary. And I just want to, you know, make a point on that. But, the turnout has been great. So I'm not going to dwell on the negative stuff that's being said, because it really doesn't matter. The turnout is great. And the folks in the city and surrounding, or whoever wants, you know, to be a part of this, the door is open. And it obviously it's proven now. It's overproven itself. And if we don't get one gun tomorrow, so what? The option is there.
Yeah.
And the fact that folks know, you know, even if you come pick a safety, you know, who knows? Who knows? And we never know every year what the outcome is going to be. And we patiently wait, and we're happy regardless. So, you know, it's a big deal. And for everybody that's tuned in, it's not going on anywhere else in the state. So, you know, this is what your city does. So I love it.
Well, and as Captain Layton mentioned, 175 guns over the last 5 years. That's substantial.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. I'm living in the moment, and it's not like this is a Super Bowl or nothing like that, you know. But I mean, living in the moment and then hearing other people talk about it is totally different for me. Even to hear you say it, it's like, oh yeah, you're right. You know, I know the stats, but you know the impact. You know, it's something like I guess you have to look back and see. It still feels like we did our first interview with you. Feels like yesterday.
I know.
And every interview we do, it looks the same. Yeah. It looks the same. It's like, hey, we're at it again. So, yeah. Which is good.
Yeah. No. And again, you can't describe it enough. Of just, it's voluntary.
Right.
This isn't the city's not here to take your guns.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't want to know your name when you pull up.
Right.
You know. And even what people think what a politician is, that's not what I am. So, you know, I'm not about, you know, shaking your hand and saying, hey, I'm Chuck Fry, I'm the councilman. And that's not, everybody who comes knows. They may leave and say, well, who was that guy? You know, or whatever the case. Who was the one guy that didn't have a uniform on? You know, I'd rather for them to leave like that. It's not about that. And the fact that this is going and ongoing, this is, you know, this is a big deal. And I think it's very impactful. And I know I don't have much time, but just the whole story of somebody called me at midnight about a gun. I can't knock that story to the side. You know, I called Captain Layton, like, almost like, hey man, put your eggs down, put the bagel down, I got something. And that's how it went. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it went. And I'm like, you know, the adrenaline, you know, for me was pumping based on the way that the weapon was presented to me. And, you know, that whole morning, you know, for me was just, how soon should I call Captain Layton? How soon can I get him in that parking lot? And he knows it. So I mean, you know, that's a good story of what could be a bad outcome. And if you look at the shootings that have been happening around here, they're happening, and they're happening right in your face, right behind your house or right next door. Nobody in the city can deny that it's happening or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's happening.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. You're the passion on this. We'll talk about this another time and get you in
I owe you 54 minutes, I think.
Exactly. Councilman Chuck Fry, City Police Captain Brian Layton, thank you both so much.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News
January 11th,
WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.